The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. And I hope you are doing well this morning. July 1st is where we are looking for. Upper 80s, around 89 for today, 92 tomorrow, 96 Wednesday, 102 on July 4th on Independence Day, maybe 105. Yeah, it's going to be, air conditioning is going to be our friend. Yes, I know it has never been hotter. It's never been more deadly. And it never used to be this way until you actually look in the records. But we'll just kind of set that aside. You know how that ends up going. But anyway, welcome to the show. Join in at 770-563-3770-KMED. I want to start with a couple of headlines here. First off, locally, then we'll go to the national news. And of course, the national news, there's only one story, but maybe actually should be more than just one story. We had a pedestrian struck and killed by a van outside Ashland Saturday night, a man from New Mexico. And this happened on South Valley View Road. Ashland Fire responds to that scene, and he died. It was Mark Langill, a 50-year-old from New Mexico. And they're still trying to reconstruct this and figure out if there was some alcohol involved or whatever it is. But it was dark, and you know, who knows exactly that story there. And not the most important story, but if you're a Beaver fan, not even just the OSU Beaver, starting today, Oregon Beavers are no longer classified as predators. And of course, I suppose if you're into the sports team with the college, you're thinking, yeah, they're not playing that well. But still, whether it's a duck or a beaver, Oregon does have, the beaver bill went into effect today. It makes it much harder to kill a beaver. They'll now be classified as fur bearers rather than predators. Frankly, I never knew that they were classified as predators. I know today is the also the day that the minimum wage increases, what, about 50 cents an hour in Jackson County? And I haven't kept track of that, but I'm sure that will have no influence on how many people end up getting hired for work, okay? Rogue Valley Times reports a Medford woman sentenced to 25 years to life in prison for fatally stabbing another woman in 2022. They ended up getting that decision in Jackson County Circuit Court. Hannah Marie Martin, 23-year-old, got her sentence for the murder of Brittany Lane Lovrovich. Now, they thought this had to do, this was outside of Rumors Nightclub in Medford. Remember that a couple of years ago. They thought it was a drug deal gone wrong or a robbery of some sort, but she was acquitted of the robbery, just so you know about that. Another interesting story that's going to be really, I can't wait to talk with Josephine County Commissioner Barrett Shager tomorrow about this. But last week during the meeting, I mean, we were all distracted by all the Trump news and the debates and the Supreme Court and everything else going on. Josephine County Commissioner Barrett Shager and Commissioner John West did end up defunding the OSU Extension Service. So that 4 or 5 cents per thousand tax is not going to be going there, which means 4-H and a lot of other programs could be going down in flames. And we'll talk with Commissioner Barrett Shager tomorrow on his normal Tuesday deal about that. And it's fascinating how people are. I guess there were some Nextdoor comments on the Nextdoor app and things. People, it's time for a recall of Barrett Shager and West. Well, first of all, Commissioner Barrett Shager is not going to be there at the end of the year anyway. It doesn't matter, right? And John West, yeah, I suppose you can try. But it comes right down to it, what they're not talking about, what all the people that are pushing the OSU Extension Service, they wouldn't tell. If I recall, like I was talking to him last week, they wouldn't tell you where the money was going to go. They refused to tell the commissioners. And so I don't blame the commissioners for doing what they did. In fact, I thought it ended up being a pretty good, pretty easy decision to make. But of course, you know, you have the people that are pushing the LGBTQIA, XXX++. I don't know how many variations of gender and sexuality and sexual desire and how you identify yourself there is. They seem to be taking this as a slap in the face on these sort of issues, and then all of a sudden they get hot and bothered about it. But what is it about diversity, equity, and inclusion? What does it have to do with learning how to grow crops or animal husbandry and such? And the kids in Joe County have been voting with their feet. They've been walking out and joining different groups. Why would you keep sending that money to the OSU Extension Service, which from all accounts of it, you look at everybody that runs it, it's just a bunch of woke Marxists the entire situation. Is this what 4-H is all about? Now, if you want to do something for the Master Gardeners, I suppose you could do something for the Master Gardeners if you want. But yeah, they're going to make it, they just hate the kids. Now, if you really hate your kids, you're going to be shoving them into these groups that are all woke and Marxist. And then you wonder, well, gee, I put my kid into 4-H, and then, gosh, he turned into a hate, you know, a parent-hating, throat-punching Antifa guy by the time he was 18 or 19. That along, but I left him in the government schools, too. Duh. I don't know. Just kind of wild. So we have that situation, but we'll talk more with Herman tomorrow morning on that one. Oregon Nurses Association, you know, we still have that strike threat. Well, there was the strike and the negotiations between the Providence nurses and the Providence medical system all over Oregon. And Prov was informed that the Oregon Nurses Association refusing federal mediation to reach a contract. And a mediator was available to hold a session July 10th. Providence accepted. Union leaders are refusing to accept a mediated bargaining session for some reason. I can't really explain why, but that is the way we're looking at things right now. It's 17 minutes after 6. Yeah, the fire Upper Applegate pretty much all contained, and they ended up discontinuing all of the evacuation notices, so that overall pretty good weekend here in Southwest Oregon. It's 17 minutes after 6. You're on KMED and 99.3 KBXG with the Bill Myers Show. Rick Manning with the D.C. Swamp Update this morning. We're going to do it today, given we weren't able to on Friday. In fact, there's even more to talk about this morning, everything from Trump to Biden to where else it's hidden. We'll touch on some other headlines here coming up, too.
Did you know that Siskiyou Pump Service does much more than service pumps? In addition to providing pump installation and repair, Siskiyou Pump installs water systems and storage tanks, water filtration systems, plus conducts real estate well inspections and flow testing. And with their drilling division, they can consult and drill your well, too. At Siskiyou Pump Service and Rotary Drilling Company, you can have one company manage your water project from start to finish. Serving the Rogue Valley for over 50 years, visit SiskiyouPump.com.
Does your property have adequate, defensible space for fire season? Hi, this is Jeff with Quality Tree Service. Fire officials are again urging property owners to maintain a buffer clear of brush, low-hanging branches, and other flammable material. At Quality Tree Service, we can visit your property and recommend trimming, brush clearing, and tree removal if necessary to help provide fire protection for your home and outbuildings. Call me today for a thorough inspection and no obligation quote. Visit QualityTreeServiceMedford.com.
Hi, it's John at Welburn's Weapons. The only thing better than shooting is shooting with a suppressor. Welburn's is Southern Oregon's suppressor headquarters, stocking models from Silencer Code, Dead Air, Griffin Armament, Rugged, Q, Thunderbeast, and many more. And we can order practically any suppressor on the market. Check in with us for monthly incentives to save on suppressors, too. Come see the suppressor experts. Welburn's Weapons on Crater Lake Highway, just south of White City.
Hi, I'm Mark with Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, and I'm on KMED.
619-770-5633 to join in. This is the Bill Myers Show, and I appreciate you waking up here. Pretty uneventful weekend for me. I tried to not pay attention to most of the news, just decompress a little bit. Last week was just wild, wasn't it? Wasn't it? I mean, all of the news coming at you with a fire hose, all these Supreme Court decisions. By the way, today is the day that we're going to find out if former President Trump has any kind of immunity. The Supreme Court's going to announce that case. Usually starts coming out around 7 o'clock or so our time, so we'll keep an eye on that. Dr. Dennis Powers will be joining me earlier this morning on a Where Past Meets Present at 7:35 or so, and we're going to talk about those particular decisions and maybe squeeze a little bit of history, too. Want to make sure he had a little more time to breathe, as the case might be. Also, Catherine Engelbrecht from True the Vote's going to join in because there's, you know, a lot of people saying, hey, Trump's got this in the bag. You know, you got Joe. The other Democrats aren't polling well, et cetera, et cetera. I had someone who wrote me over the weekend. Maybe it was even this morning. And I just wanted to share this because I think this is a reasonable way of looking at it. And Alan says, Bill, good morning, Bill. Do you know if anything is being done about voter fraud or how it is done? Or are we just whistling past the graveyard? Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, we are just kind of whistling past the graveyard at this point because there have been some minor reforms over the years. But Catherine Engelbrecht and others are making it clear that in big states, a lot of states like California, a lot of states like Oregon, everybody gets a driver's license. You just end up signing. You have to say that, yeah, you're not a citizen, et cetera, but nobody really checks on that. And the estimate is that there are anywhere between 30 to 40 million illegal aliens, possibly even more, who may be signed up to vote who aren't allowed to. And has the cheat machine been fixed? No. Has anyone really gone down for the suitcases full of votes that ended up getting run through voting machines several times? No. In fact, everybody said that, you know, Trump was, literally Hitler, and you had to do anything by any means necessary to keep him from going in. And the Democratic cheat machine did this. Could they back up Biden again? Could the cheat machine pull off a win in some of these swing states? Possibly. But even then, when you're doing the cheat has to look reasonable enough so that the average majority of most non-thinking people out there aren't fooled. Oh, okay. Well, so it was close. A few thousand votes. Oh, okay. And then they go to sleep. That's the reality of how... Now, maybe you wouldn't look at it that way. I'm talking about the vast majority of people who don't pay attention to a lot of news and are just thinking, well, no big... Well, you know, as long as it looks within the realm of possibility. And this is where I think that polling ends up being used over time, because they're talking about how the polling hasn't changed that much between President Trump and Joe Biden at this point in time. You hear the national polls hasn't changed much. Now, maybe it will later on, but there is pretty good evidence that polling has been used to condition people to accept a cheat. When, you know, it's really wide apart at some point, and then, gosh, as the election gets closer and closer, it always magically just tightens up, and oh, it's too close to call. It's a coin toss, and then you can turn the machine on, and the truckloads of ballots go to Philadelphia and various other places like that. All the stories that the courts were not interested in, when the Democrats are saying, "Oh, this was all adjudicated," no. No court wanted to touch those hot potatoes back in 2020. Let's be honest with ourselves, okay? Evidence was never heard. No evidence was ever heard. It's like, nope, too late, can't do anything, no standing, blah, 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 whatever. Now, Democrat Central, though, is in a panic because they realize that now with the current person that's in there, with Joe, the question should not be whether or not Joe should be the Democratic nominee, but whether or not he should still be president. And so this has people in a panic because, let's face it, the Tony Blinkens of the world and the other Obama characters that are still hanging around, they're the ones that are really running the administration, you know, no doubt about that. And they're okay with that for the most part. And yet they're asking Obama to ask Joe to step away. I don't know. May not necessarily be in his best interest. But just a... let me just go to what Axios is reporting this morning. And Axios is no friend of Republicans, just so you know, okay? Number one, big thing, Biden's salvation plan. A massive political PR and personal campaign is underway to reject calls for President Biden to drop his reelection race and rally Democrats to move on from public debate about his age and future. It's according to top officials telling Axios. Biden has zero interest in stepping aside, and First Lady Jill Biden and key family members and friends agree, according to people who talk regularly with him. Now, the intrigue, according to Axios, Biden, who has ducked tough interviews and avoided no-holds-barred press conferences, is now considering both. Look for a town hall or a big one-on-one interview this month. And the latest, during a family gathering at Camp David on Sunday, Biden family members, including Hunter, went through with a long-scheduled session with celebrity photographer Annie Leibovitz. And the Bidens insisted that the president stay in the race, we're told by people close to them. They're all in, and they want to stay in, a Biden source told us, adding that the campaign is charging ahead. Now, some Friends and families, family members of the Biden blame longtime aides who had prepped Biden. Oh, you trying to blame the aides for that debate performance? I'm sorry, the aides are not to blame for the dementia, okay? They complained about everything from data-heavy answers to his makeup to his briefing on camera angles. But the president smoothed it all over. He called former chief of staff, Ron Klain, who led the team. And one of the things they talked about was that neither he nor the family blames the prep. A campaign spokesperson, Kevin Munoz, tells Axios, the aides who prepped the president have been with him for years, often decades, seeing him through victories and challenges. He maintains strong confidence in them. All right, now, chances are Biden is not going to step aside willingly, okay? Question for you this morning, wouldn't you really rather have Biden stay in? Wouldn't Biden actually serve the United States of America better by continuing to run? Because he will be the easier of all the candidates out there for the Republican candidate, Donald Trump, to beat. You couldn't really pull the cheat machine out for Joe Biden after these performances, right? You couldn't all of a sudden have, President Trump with 49% of the vote and Biden with 50, 51, 52. It just would not make common sense after this and the hue and drama and everything else that has been going on, right? You think? Although looking at President Biden's performance is kind of scary, there are dangers in this too, because you look at the stuff which is starting to crank up. Gosh, we have terror attacks against U.S. military bases right now. Fox News is reporting about that. U.S. military bases throughout Europe have been put on heightened alert status due to a potential terrorist attack. I was reading that in Fox this morning. And Biden is not up for the job. We know that. But on the other hand, Biden really hasn't been doing the job all these years. The other people, the unelected bureaucrats, the staffers, they've been the ones really running this administration. So we've already been dealing with this anyway. Should we risk another 6 months of Biden in order to make sure that President Trump gets in November? Remember, Biden was democratically elected. And remember, this is, well, you know how you hear all this talk about our democracy all the time coming from the Democrats? Our democracy is this Democratic influence. You know, do they really want a Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden? They want to do it again? You know, second election cycle in which they have killed the obvious person who had the most votes. You remember what they did with Bernie? Of course, I'm sure he got enough payoffs, and he can sit there and rail against capitalism. He's against those book deals and all those real estate deals that he has enjoyed, from what I understand. You know, that's how they do that. Maybe he should stay in. I don't know. I'll to talk about that with him, with Rick Manning, president of Americans for Limited Government. We'll have that coming up with the D.C. Swamp Update. But think about that. Instead of Republicans calling for Biden to quit, should we be part of the call to prop him up and have him keep going? Because once you have someone other than Biden in there, the race becomes a lot more dicey with former President Trump. They see someone who's vigorous, even though that toad Gavin Newsom, just to me, a detestable individual. But, you know, he has the hair. He has the look. And a lot of people would look at it. Oh, yeah, California. Yeah, California's really run well, according to the leftists, right? That sort of thing. Maybe go with him. He'd probably give former President Trump a tussle. So what do you think? 770-5633. Maybe we talk about that after I talk with Rick, too.
Drake's Paint and Supply, your only locally owned paint store, is now open in South Medford. The South Medford store offers the same top quality Benjamin Moore paint and stain and all the equipment and supplies the North Medford and Grants Pass stores offer, with the legacy of service and value Drake's is known for. Drake's Paint, your local Benjamin Moore dealer, with three Rogue Valley locations to serve you in North Medford on North Pacific Highway, Grants Pass in the Parkway Village, and now in South Medford between Central and Riverside, just north of where the two combine.
Longer days and warming weather means more time outside. Terra Firma Foundation Systems wants you to know if your outdoor patio is uneven, cracked, settling, or separating, Terra Firma can help. Restore your sunken concrete in just a few hours. The foam technology settles underneath and lifts your concrete. It's fast and affordable and improves the look and safety of your patios and pathways. Get your outdoor spaces ready with Terra Firma. Visit GoTerraFirma.com. That's GoTerraFirma.com. CCB 173-547.
6:31. This is the Bill Myers Show on KMED and 99.3 KPXG. You were talking about the Biden race. A lot of people calling for him to quit, but I was wondering if maybe we're better off if we actually encourage Biden to stay in there. And let me talk with Jerry the Bull. Jerry, what do you think about that? There's a constitutional question involved, and then there's the political reality. What are you thinking?
Well, I'll tell you what, Bill. Like I said, constitutionally, he should be removed, or at least go through a cognitive test.
Yes.
And at the minimum, what can me, regardless of who's in there right now, because as we know, Biden isn't making the decisions. But what concerns me is the whole NATO issue and the Russian-Ukrainian and the possibility of a conflict with NATO and Russia.
So you figure that if you don't have a competent person in there, more likely to be led into war on behalf of NATO, right?
Well, you know, I don't know. I'm my gut feeling tells me NATO is hell-bent on destroying Russia, or at least destroying the Russia that we know today.
Right.
And breaking it up. And I believe all their chips are in, and I don't know how they're going to do it, if they're going to do it internally, through military means, or whatever. But these people have no limits, and that's my concern.
Well, does Biden staying in help these individuals, you think?
I think even if Biden wasn't there, I'd still be concerned.
Okay. Jerry, appreciate the call. Thanks for that. Hi, this is Bill. Good morning. Who's this?
Hi, this is Vicky from the Applegate.
Hey, Vicky, you have a take on that? Biden stay in? What, or not?
Actually, I was listening to, I don't know if it was Lars or if it was Ground Zero last night, and they had a gentleman on there, and I believe he is a journalist of some sort, but anyways, he was saying that it's what they're doing, basically, is they have been backing Biden this whole time, and after the debate, everybody, like CNN and SB, whatever it
is. Yeah, there's just a wholesale collapse of support everywhere you look. Yeah.
And which his point was, he was saying, he wanted Trump to wait until September so that the public didn't actually really get to see Biden in this condition that he's in.
Right.
Because then this just gives them an excuse to finally get rid of him and put somebody else in there.
In other words, what happened Thursday was an actual Democrat hit plan against President Biden. Right.
September, if he would have waited till September and then showed Biden, I think it would have been a lot better, even though we all know he's incompetent and not even there most of the time.
Yeah, politically, it would have been a lot better. All right, it's an interesting point. Well, it's not very often we get a chance to witness a soft political coup/hit, whatever you want to call it, right out there in the open. But I think Thursday's debate may have been that, Vicky. Appreciate the call, all right? This is the Bill Myers Show. Hey, we'll have some open phones a little bit later. Rick, though, is going to join me here in a couple of minutes, and we're going to break that all down, okay? Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. The Upper Applegate fire is now 100% contained. Sunday, the Jackson County Sheriff's Office also rescinded all evacuation notices for the fire. Friday's U.S. Supreme Court ruling in the Grants Pass homeless case has homeless advocates and Democratic lawmakers disappointed, calling it morally wrong. The ruling overturned a Ninth Circuit ruling saying Grants Pass could not enforce fines or jail the homeless for camping on public property. Meanwhile, others say it gives cities more options to deal with the homeless. Oregon House Republican leader Representative Jeff Helfrich says cities can finally begin restoring our community's public spaces. The State Ethics Commission dismissed complaints against Oregon Governor Tina Kotek related to the government role she gave her spouse, First Lady Amy Kotek Wilson, which caused a number of Kotek's top staffers to quit over ethical concerns. The commission, which is appointed by the governor, never talked to the staffers. I'm Bill London, KMED News.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. President Biden is at Camp David with his family as questions persist over whether he will stay in the race for the White House following his subpar performance in the presidential debate with Donald Trump. Today is a day the Supreme Court expected to release its ruling in former President Trump's presidential immunity case. Powerful Hurricane Beryl is bearing down on the Caribbean's Windward Islands. It is a Category 4 storm, making top sustained winds of 130 miles per hour. American military bases in Europe reportedly placed on a heightened state of alert amid reports of a terrorist threat. And Boeing is planning a $4.7 billion purchase of one of its key parts suppliers, Spirit AeroSystems, saying it will improve plane quality as well as aircraft safety. More details at srnnews.com.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is celebrating its 20-year anniversary as the Rogue Valley's car, truck, Jeep, and SUV accessory upfit headquarters. Specializing in spray-on bedliners, vehicle undercoating, tonneau covers, and the largest selection of fiberglass, commercial, and metal canopies in the area. Running boards, Nerf bars, bumpers, winches, and LED lighting are also on the menu, along with hitches, decked drawer systems, and bed slides too. Come see Oregon Truck and Auto Authority today and get your vehicle ready for your next adventure.
3, 2, 1.
Discount Fireworks Superstore. Get the same amount of fireworks for half the price. Twice the fireworks for the same price you'd pay at the other guys. All your favorites, sparklers, screaming patriots, ground blooms, and killer bees, at least 50% off. Over 250 items to choose from. Discount Fireworks Superstore has 6 locations in the valley. South Pacific Highway near Grange Co-op, West Main near Thunderbird, Ashland across from Butler Fort, Central Point across from Pilot, White City at Wilson Equipment, Grants Pass in the first tent on Rogue River Highway just east of Gun and Tackle, plus Cape Junction on Redwood Highway and River Road. For a discount fireworks superstore near you and free fireworks, visit dfsfireworks.com. Once again, for discount fireworks superstore locations plus free fireworks, visit dfsfireworks.com. That's dfsfireworks.com. Remember, for free fireworks, visit dfsfireworks.com. Get the same amount of fireworks for half the price only at discount fireworks superstore.
Pancakes certified by a committee of grandmas. Try a stack at Diner 62.
Did you know that with Good Guys Guns Background Concierge Service, customers get approved the same day? And for under 21-year-old customers, Good Guys Guns at 4934 Crater Lake Avenue gets you approved in half the time of the big box stores. That's right. Good Guys Background Concierge Service gets you your firearm faster than the other guys. And this service is free with every firearm purchase. Good Guys Guns, the Valley's firearm leader. 4934 Crater Lake Avenue. Good Guys Guns.
Good Guys Guns.
639 KMED KBXG.
This is the craziest party that could ever be. Don't turn on the lights because I don't want to see. Mama told me that's gone.
No, it's not Friday morning. It is Monday morning, but Rick was on a television hit on Friday. And hey, I completely understand the news was out there. Rick Manning, who's the president of Americans for Limited Government, DailyTorch.com. It's great to have you back on here because we were just going wild with phone calls on Friday anyway. It was just one of those kind of things after the debate. Just wild. Good to have you back, though. Good morning, sir.
Yeah, I bet there was that little debate and, you know, everybody, a lot of us, it was confirmed what we already knew. Question of how the country is going to serve, how the country is going to move forward. And, you know, Joe Biden's continuing to contemplating his future, and Hunter's trying to figure out how he can get the loose ends cleaned up in time and all that. But and interestingly, the media has shifted over the weekend to, you know, maybe we have to just hang in with this guy because, you know, it's really, really, really hard to get rid of a president, and it's really, really, really hard to change horses once you've gone through all your primaries and you've basically nominated the guy.
Well, remember, we are talking about our democracy with a little trademark, you know, next to it, you know, our democracy, meaning the democratic democracy, democratic party democracy, as it were, you know, how can they go out there and just, you know, put the shiv in them politically, right?
Well, you know, he has to put the shiv in himself. That's, you know, the hardest thing is to convince somebody they have to commit political suicide. And because, you know, this is kind of, you know, this is the end. So the way they get out of it is he says, I can't perform the duties anymore, and I need to step down, at which point Kamala becomes president. He's no longer takes himself out of contention for the Democratic nomination. And then the power brokers in the Democratic Party get to say, hey, good news. We get to choose the president and vice presidential nominee.
It would have to be thrown into an open convention. That would be the actual technique, correct?
Yep, exactly. Well, I'm not an expert on the Democratic National Committee rules, but my bet is it would be a convention where you'd have nominations from the floor, you'd have behind the scenes deal making, and it would be a shall we say, unless they came to a consensus around one person, it would be an extraordinarily bloody process played out in front of everybody while you had 100,000 Hezbollah and Hamas protesters surrounding the convention center.
Isn't it? It's not all that different from 1968. Remember the 1968
exactly
Democrat.
Exactly right. It's a, you know, it's, you know, for people, different circumstances, obviously, but the Bobby Kennedy was going to get that nomination. He won California, and he gets murdered by a Palestinian, Sirhan B. Sirhan, on the night of his, in California, the Ambassador Hotel. I remember watching on TV and just being kind of shocked. And so it threw them into disarray. They started out with an incumbent president. The incumbent president, Lyndon B. Johnson, wins the New Hampshire primary against Eugene McCarthy, socialist senator from Wisconsin. I could be wrong. But anyway, Eugene McCarthy was the guy who got like 48%. Johnson got 52%. But Johnson finished so far below expectations that he quit. He said, "Okay, I'm not running for re-election," and basically throwing everything into a free for all, and which eventually ended up with Hubert Humphrey getting the nomination and Richard Nixon becoming president. And that was it was a mess. And that's the model, and they're back in Chicago to do it again. And I couldn't think of a worse place to be than Chicago with a
Chicago in the summer.
Well, beyond that, with a mayor who actually supports the Hamas protesters, and you know, so they're going to have the Hamas protesters surrounding the convention center. They're going to be have stuff thrown at them, and there'll be just a complete nightmare scenario from trying to control the optics, and it will be chaos and disarray. And for a candidate and a party that had landed on the idea that, you know, we need to have the country be normal and we can't afford the chaos that Donald Trump brings, not exactly the optics they wanted.
Yeah, I don't know if they can use the chaos of Donald Trump, given that Democrat Party is party of chaos, certainly over the last 3-4 years. But that's just, well, there's projection that's been going on with the Democratic Party for quite some time. When it comes to a matter of politics, naturally, the government is at risk with Biden at the head. Because, people are saying, well, he's obviously incompetent. Rick, you know, the way I'm looking at this is that he hasn't been running the show for quite some time. First off, would that be a reasonable assumption? There's no way that person with maybe a 4 to 5 or 6 hour window of opportunity is really running things the way a normal executive would. Would you agree or not?
No, he's not. It's clear he's not. When White House aides say, as you mentioned, that he's only really available from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., I'm sorry. The world is a 24/7 place, and if the president is only, mentally competent for 6 hours of that, somebody else is running it.
Yeah,
by definition. You know, the fact is, remember Hillary did the who's going to answer the phone at 3 a.m. kind of commercial. Well, we know who's going to answer the phone at 3 a.m. It'll be Jill. And did any of us actually, or be his chief of staff? It'll be Tony Blinken.
Yeah, Tony Blinken is who it would really be.
So when you get there, you say, okay, well, did anybody here vote for Tony Blinken for anything?
Nope.
I don't want him. He's not the decision maker. The nuclear football can't be sitting over with Tony Blinken.
Yeah.
So, and that's ultimately it. The guy, the nuclear football president, you know, follows the president. And if the president is not capable of making a sound decision, that's makes it puts the world at risk. And the fact that Chinese know that he can't make a sound decision, that Russians know it, they've known it for a long time. They're pressuring him because they know he can't make a sound decision. That's why they're taking full advantage around the world.
Here is the issue that I see in play, though. As bad as it is with Biden in there, or else we could almost call this maybe the final months of the Wilson administration, with essentially, yeah, you know, the wife of the president running the schedule, right, and running the situation. I can't help but be concerned that, as risky as this is, not having the Democratic Party out of control next year would be an even greater risk, and that it might be better to deal with the devil that we have and we know, and maybe Republicans should stop calling for Biden to not only be kicked out or Amendment 25, but to actually encourage it to move on. I'm talking about the greater good of the country long term might be to make sure that they're gone at the end of the year. What would you say to that?
You know, it's a balancing act.
Yeah.
I think that the challenge here is, I was willing to go with that. But what dissuades me from it is the world's a really dangerous place. And if you've got a guy who's got the nuclear football who can't make a decision, that's even more dangerous. If I'm sitting there, I'm South Korea right now, I'm wondering, you know, when are the troops going to come over the border? If I'm sitting in Taiwan, I'm preparing for the Chinese invasion. If I'm sitting in Poland, I know that if Russia goes and actually presses its advantage, comes down from Belarus and wipes out Kiev, which they could do, I think they've been fighting a pretty controlled war since they got pushed back away from Kiev. You know, you have pressure on the border of Poland, and the Western, you know, the NATO countries have to then step up and really step up hard. I mean, the entire world has plus you got the Middle East where, you know, the Iranians are running amok, and, you know, you see an attack, full-scale attack with Hezbollah, Iran trying to take down the Jordanian government, using the Palestinians to take down the Jordanian government, and they've isolated Saudi Arabia, and you have a complete frickin' free-for-all in the Middle East. I mean, the entire world order is at stake, and it's, I don't believe you can have a guy who doesn't have the capacity, you know, where nobody knows who's leading. I mean, the reason they put the 25th Amendment in place is because Al Haig got up and famously declared that he was in charge.
He's in charge, yeah. And hey, do you remember how the media used to go after Reagan for his afternoon naps? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I do remember. It was a, you know, let's be honest. Reagan didn't work Trump hours.
Okay? No.
One of the kind of stories that came out of the Reagan administration was he'd come into the office at 9 o'clock in the morning and be talking to people, and he'd ask them if they saw a TV show that was on at 9 o'clock at night, and totally oblivious that they were working until 10, 11 o'clock at night, then getting back in at 7, and which is kind of the White House schedule. If you're staff, you're getting home at 11, you're getting in at 7 at the latest. And if you work for a guy like Rumsfeld at Defense, he had to have his stuff, his prep notes had to be on his limousine seat at 6 a.m., which means somebody was at 3 a.m. putting them together. So that's, you know, that's the way D.C. really works, is you're at the highest levels of power. You pay a huge price, personal and physical price, for doing that.
Well, we do have some experience with this situation.
Biden isn't doing that.
Yeah, agreed. And I will agree with you. And was it different for Reagan? Because Reagan was arguably in decline in the second term. Would you agree with that?
Different from Reagan. I think the difference was Reagan was in control of his faculties. He had a and remember, the biggest foreign policy successes that Reagan had were a result of his second 4 years. They went after him on the Contras, but the fact of the matter is he stopped the communist expansion of Central America. by not knowing what Oliver North was doing. I put quotes around the not knowing.
Yeah.
The plausible
deniability of not knowing.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes. Convinced Gorbachev, meeting Gorbachev face to face a number of occasions, that Reagan was so formidable that Russia could not stand against a guy who was that determined, and convinced Gorbachev that to basically go in and give up and try and sue for peace in the Cold War for all intents and purposes.
Okay, so all right, we'll set that aside. Let's pull it forward then. Is the best we can hope for at this point that Biden take himself out prior to the convention or else resign and allow Kamala, who nobody wants, but she would be next in line to just move ahead? What do you think?
My bet, if let's say Biden decides that he's going to resign effective August 1, give 31 days to get the family business cleaned up and the like, and also not run for election. If that's a decision, a complete leaving, Kamala gets to be president for 5 months,
yeah,
6 months. She does not get to be the nominee. They go to convention, they pick their own nominee, and I think that's the deal they do. And they shove somebody else into the vice presidential slot, who maybe a Hillary or somebody like that in the vice presidential slot, to try to assuage the world that adults are in charge.
Mm-hmm. Adults in charge, meaning in the Democratic side of things, means you're willing to bomb the world.
Well, adults in charge in the case is, pay us money and we'll take care of you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's the model that they've run for 20 years. So what, 30, 40 years since Clinton, I guess 30 years. So it's that's the model. That's what we've looked at. You take care of the right people and we take care of you.
Yeah.
It's sad. But it's a straight mafia model, and the world's very comfortable with that because that's what every third world dictator in the world uses.
And what we saw last week, it's interesting. I was mentioning a few minutes ago that it's not very often you get a chance to see a soft coup or a political hit right out in the open so brazenly as last week's debate. Because remember, there wasn't supposed to have been a debate this early, right? This is planned, wouldn't you say?
Well, I think they did it this early. They did do it this early because they wanted to have room to maneuver should President Biden glitch. I don't think they were hoping it would glitch. But I think they were hoping that they could kind of he'd make it through. They set as easy of a debate environment as you can imagine up and in friendly territory. He had everything going for him, and he still glitched. And as a result, they had time to try to deal with the problem. If they'd waited until September, then they lose the president for the first debate. This happens, they lose mm-hmm. the presidency for sure. And probably get it swamped in the House and the Senate. So they made a decision to do it as early as possible. And if Biden could pull it off, then they'd hide him in the basement for the next 5 months and let him and run him from the basement and be doing, walking the Marine One and looking very concerned.
Yeah.
And that was their plan. But he couldn't pull off the one debate. There's never going to be a second debate.
But the klaxon horns, of course, are on right now. And I would be willing to bet, though, that really the down ballot people, the senators and the senators in the House, they're probably more concerned about this than anybody at this point. Because if you have people disillusioned about the presidential vote on the Democratic side, it's going to hurt them too. Likely, wouldn't that be the case?
Top of the ticket drives the rest of the ticket. That's
yep.
absolutely true. And it's a so you look at places like Virginia. Okay, in Virginia. It is now, before the debate, it was a toss-up. Okay, now, the Republicans haven't won Virginia in quite a while, but it's a toss-up. They've got a Senate race, which nobody believes that the Republicans can win. But if Biden is a non-entity and Trump romps in Virginia and wins, Virginia is basically two states. You got Northern Virginia and you got the rest of Virginia.
Yeah, it's kind of like Oregon. Same kind of thing.
Very, very similar. And so, you've got the D.C. bureaucrats and ruling class, and then the rest of, and then actually Virginia. But from a, but it puts places like Virginia in play for the Senate seat. Tim Kaine's up. He's running against a guy named Hung Cao, who's a Korean who fought for our country and ran a congressional race and did okay. And so now he's running a Senate race, but, you know, see what happens.
It would be good for the Hung Cao's of the world to have Biden in a diminished capacity. Yeah,
it's good for the Hung Cao's of the world, for everybody who's sitting there saying, you know, if you're on the ballot, you got to fight it, you got a chance. Well, Biden being on the ballot, or just the complete disarray that is occurring right now, helps every one of those candidates to be able to make a case that they can win.
All right. Hey, Rick, before we take off on the swamp wheat, on the swamp update, and we'll catch you a week from Friday, because I imagine you're going to be, are you working the day after July 4th or not? Because
I can do July 4th.
I'm taking the day off. I don't mind. I'm going to be, you know. Then,
well, if you're not working, I'm not working.
Okay, yeah, exactly. So you and I will both not work on Friday, okay?
Okay.
So the Supreme Court decisions were just amazing in many cases. Grants Pass got its win. I'm just curious how we're going to end up fighting the state laws, which ended up codifying a lot of what the Ninth Circuit said they should do. That's nothing that you need to be concerned about. But the administrative state took a couple of body blows last week. There was the Chevron deference, which went down, and there was another one. But you were telling me the Chevron deference case may not be as big a deal as I thought, and I did not understand there was a compromise in that ruling. Could you explain that a bit before we take off, please?
Yeah. Chevron deference, very simply, is when a court is trying to decide who has more credibility, the bureaucrats or outside experts. The Chevron deference says the bureaucrats always win. It doesn't matter what the court actually thinks. They just defer to the bureaucrats because they're the quote-unquote experts. And so that's what Chevron deference is. There's been 1,800 cases or so that have been decided using that. Originally the thought was that all 1,800 cases could be under judicial review.
Actually, I think there were 18,000, weren't there?
18,000?
Okay. Yeah, 18,000 cases that had used
it throws essentially the entire administrative law, the regulatory state, into complete chaos and disarray. What the Supreme Court did, what John Roberts did in the decision, is he grandfathered in the 18,000 cases where Chevron deference was used. And as a result, those cases are not up for review under that standard re-review. So going into the future, though, if the bureaucrats at the EPA say, we believe that we should ban all gas-powered cars, which you're doing now, ban all gas-powered cars because we've got unlimited power in the Clean Air Act, and experts say, you can't destroy the U.S. economy based on the Clean Air Act, and you don't have that authority. The Supreme Court can say, well, you know, the court, federal court system will make a decision, and the EPA bureaucrats won't have the trump card of saying, oh, we're bureaucrats, we're right.
Yeah, we're the bureaucrats, and Chevron deference says that we're always right. Okay. So this means that the current administrative tyranny can never be unwound? Is that what that means?
No, it means that you can unwind it using the regular process. Trump gets in and he says, here's 20 regs I want to get rid of.
Oh,
they go and they get rid of them.
Oh, okay. So then it takes the executive, then the executive starts taking apart some of the worst decisions, right?
And similarly, what I've argued, the House Speaker just 2 weeks ago, at least to his top staff, was that they need to use the Budget Reconciliation Act process at the beginning of the next term, hopefully with Trump and the Republican House, Republican Senate, to identify right now, start identifying, you know, 10 rules that you could take down that Congress can basically write out of existence, but they have to have the budgetary impact of those rules. So you write, but Congress could do that, they could say, we say these rules, we're not funding these rules.
Yeah, you could whack the carbon rules.
You could whack them all. You could whack anyone you want to.
Yeah.
And but because of West Virginia, the EPA, which passed through a couple of Congresses ago, they can say in clearly in language, Congress finds that this regulation exceeds the authority that Congress granted the administrative, the executive branch, and is no longer in effect, and defund all the personnel and defund any funding for the rule whatsoever. But also by declaring it to be defunct, then a lawyer can go and sue and get the court to say, "Yep, Congress said it was defunct. It's defunct," and wipe it off the books. And excellent. That's how we wipe out the administrative state, and it's what I've been pushing for about 7 months to these guys, because it's a great opportunity.
All right. Now, moving forward then, as it is right now, gangrene sues anytime someone even thinks about taking down a tree, right?
Yep.
And so does this end up kind of being a gut punch to the sue and settle process, which is being done out here on the West Coast when it comes to many environmental issues?
Not as much as we would hope, because the way the sue and settle process works is you get a friendly judge, you get a friendly administration, and you get somebody who used to work with the people in the administration then suing. And then they all magically come to an agreement. They do something called a consent decree. And a consent decree is a legal agreement that you need all three of the parties to agree to disband. Now, I haven't looked at it closely enough to know if Congress can say this. We find this to be outrageous. We're not doing it. But you know, it's essentially the legislative branch and people coming to mutual agreement. What I've argued is that what we ought to do is we ought to be ready with a series of consent decrees that effectively undermine or contradict other consent decrees, forcing the differing laws that have been created into the courts for decision as to what was valid.
And then post Chevron deference, once that's gone, then it is no longer assumed that the BLM and the EPA and the U.S. Forest Service are automatically the experts on everything. Right.
So my theory on the way I've been advocating that we go after it, and we'll see if anybody listens. But it's to create chaos in terms of what's the law, and by creating alternative consent decrees that essentially undo or challenge it and allow for them, because you've got alternative consent decrees that are differ, you have a lawsuit which then goes in the court, because that's what the federal courts are supposed to do, is resolve differences like that.
All right.
So that's the way consent decrees can be dealt with. The sue and settle is another thing. Jeff Sessions got rid of it. So on the Republican side, there wasn't sue and settle, which meant Republican organizations couldn't benefit from it. And then they got put back in place so all the lefties could get millions upon millions of dollars upon their left-wing agenda by settling stuff. So a little frustrating that we play by philosophical rules and they play by the practical rules of getting government money to fund their garbage.
But yeah.
Nonetheless, that's politics. That's the swamp.
But still, overall, a much better week today than it was a week ago at this point in time.
A phenomenal week. And I haven't seen, I guess, the we're going to get the decision on the
immunity case.
Immunity case today. We're going to get a net neutrality case today that impacts privacy, right? Whether or not you're going to be able to censor. So it's another censorship case, and so we got a couple more that are coming out today, and they're going to be a big deal. So, like all Supreme Court decisions, and I'm glad the Grants Pass decision did happen the way it did. I'm sorry that your state government, which probably is the chartering agency for all of your cities, decided to impose it from the state level, effectively negating the effect of the.
Yeah, the Boise decision was essentially codified in some legislation. So we have a lot of work to do here, but there are still more tools in the toolbox today than we had a week ago. All right. So, Rick, thank you very much. Take Friday off, and we'll talk with you soon, okay? You be well.
Talk to you a week from Friday. Take
okay.
care.
Rick Manning, President of Americans for Limited Government, DailyTorch.com, GetLiberty.org. This is KMED and KMED HD1 Eagle Point Medford, KBXG Grants Pass. Town Hall News on the rest of the issues coming up.